So my Sundays were somewhat confusing. And my, I suppose my home was somewhat confusing as well. I'm one of five. I've got a sister and three brothers. And my father used to introduce people into the home regularly who were in need. Nothing was ever said. There would just be different people around the table. They too frequently weren't fragrant. I remember he had no hesitation in bringing people in, irrespective of who were there. You know, my mother's quite nice middle-class friends. My father would rock up with somebody who needed a bath. And they really needed a bath. And it was all... It felt normal. It felt normal when I was a child. But I suppose for me that in the difference of it all the talk was of Jesus. But Jesus, for me as a child, was a friend. He wasn't as I see it now. It was like somebody you talked about, somebody who was part of everything, somebody that was just came into conversations, but somebody who had high expectations of you as a person. Because Jesus, and it always was Jesus as far as my parents were concerned, Jesus would expect me to behave in a certain way. He would expect us to live in the faith. He would expect us to be kind and caring and the sort of people that didn't turn their back on anyone. And I suppose that there was nothing revelatory about my Christianity as a child and a young person, a teenager, until I left home. It was just sort of what had always been there. And then in 1973, I went to university. And I left this home where Christianity was the thing, that being as part of a Christian community was just the thing. And I went off to university, and I found a freedom, I'll call it a freedom for the time being, that I had never experienced before. And in that freedom, in that time, and those of you who remember the 70s perhaps knew it was a challenging time for a young person to be a Christian. In that freedom, in that that place where I wasn't overlooked by anybody, it's fair to say I moved pretty far away from God. I was careless. I had a friend who was Salvation Army, and she used to say, come with me, Claire, and I started going. But then I stopped. And I moved further and further away from God. And it wasn't that I didn't go home and resume the sort of normality of Christianity in the home. It was just I was detached from it. It's just that I wasn't feeling it. Jesus was no longer that close friend to me. And when I left university, I got a job in London, and it was the 70s and the 80s, and they were great times to be alive. I spent more long lunch times in wine bars in London than you could shake a stick at. And sometimes I didn't get back into the wine bar again until about 6 o'clock in the evening. And it was that sort of lifestyle where there wasn't really room for anything except being me, being ambitious, and being in the moment. I met my husband in that time, one of the world's most caring people, but he's not a Christian. We got married in that time. We got married in my family church. It was interesting because even though I was sort of detached at this time, he said to me, do you want a church? You know, where do you want to get married? And of course I wanted to get married in church. And he said, the vicar at the time, High Anglican, said, but he hasn't been christened. And this was suddenly a major problem to me. And for me, he was baptized and we got married in a church. But still, it was just a case of going, really, when I was at home, so that I didn't upset my parents, so that I didn't upset my grandmother. And we got to the point where we had our first child. And at that time, we were moving around the country a lot, my husband's job, and we were actually for a short period of time, during the time of my first son, James, we were actually living in Southampton, not far from my parents. And that was great. And had a perfectly healthy baby, bit of a bruiser, sort of, you know, well up to near enough 10 pounds, born, burst into life, carried on, and at 11 weeks started crying. And he wouldn't stop crying, and I took him to the doctor and he went colic. And I took him to the doctor again. They said, "Are you it's your first child?" And I was going, "Yeah, but something wrong with him." They went, "No, first child, he's fine. He's got colic." In the end, saw a doctor and who said, "I don't know what's wrong with him. Take him to hospital now. Don't stop. Get in your car and go to hospital." And I remember phoning my husband and saying, "You've got to meet me at the hospital." And they rushed into the room where I was holding this screaming baby. Actually, the baby had stopped screaming at this point. A doctor and a nurse grabbed him and ran out and just left us. And I thought, I don't know what's going on. And I think the most difficult words that were ever spoken to me was when a doctor said to me, "If we can get him through the night, we're in with a chance." And you think, what's happened? And what had happened was he had pneumonia and his lung had collapsed and he was too young to cope with it. And of course, he did get through the night. But I remember it was a time when mothers could stay and fathers couldn't stay. And I remember they'd taken him off to do a procedure on him. And I remember going to the hospital chapel and sitting in there and just calling on God. And I just called on the Lord. And it was combined with this awful sense of guilt. What right did I have to call on God, having gone nowhere near him? And I sort of remember bargaining. You know, if you let him live, I will do this. If you just get us through this, I will be anything you want me to be. And it was dark, and I was the only person there. And I remember people say it to you. It was as if somebody put a blanket around my shoulders. And I actually turned round to see who'd put a blanket around my shoulders. And at that moment, I knew. And from that time, I began to get it right. From that time, it wasn't a sort of Damascene road. It wasn't a euphoric moment. It was just a homecoming. And I suppose from that time, I went into a halcyon period of Christianity because I worship with my children. My children came to church with me. It's wonderful going to church with your children, isn't it? I absolutely loved it. And we were part of the community. My children were part of the community. And actually, they have moved away for a time being. But in my heart, I'm confident. I'm confident that God will call them back. And I suppose I got to the place where I was in a church for a long time and the church had changed and a minister had come and gone and things change in a church. And I think I'd always been instilled with a sense of loyalty and it was getting a difficult place to be because there was a lack of spirit in it, really. And a friend came to stay with me from Scotland and she came to church and she said, "What on earth are you doing here, Claire? Why are you in a place where the spirit is not moving?" And I thought, I am. I'm in a place where the spirit isn't moving. And I came here. And it was difficult for me to come here because I came here as a single woman. You know, and that makes you relatively anonymous when you've been a woman with a family, but it does. And I came here and I had to take a period of relearning what it was to be an active Christian. And I had to make those commitments to active Christian life, both within the church and beyond the church. Now, I think a lot of you know what I do. You know, I'm a head teacher. I work in a large secondary school. It's not a faith school. And so, you know, listening to Kim's talk this morning was fascinating. Because I talk out as much as I possibly can about God in my place of work. I talk to the children. I talk to the staff. There's quite a lot of Christian staff in my school. I've appointed a lot of Christian staff. A lot of you know I'm retiring this year, but they're going onwards. We have an active Christian union. We have an active staff Christian group. But still you don't know, do you, how those words fall. You don't know where your words rest. And it's in the little moments. One mother said to me, very quietly one day, it's part of a conversation. It's really important to a lot of people in our community that a woman of faith leads this school. And I thought, I didn't know that. And yet, like so many of you, I am sure, I am riven with guilt, riven with doubts about whether I get it right and whether I do it well enough. And I suppose that knowing that we never do it well enough, knowing that we can't be what God wants us to be because we are human and fallible, I just assume this. I just assume on the day that I walk towards God that he will look at me and know that I did my damnedest to get it right. And he'll take me with my flaws and he'll take me with my failings and he'll say, "You know, Claire, you tried."